Hi, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I'm Jim Sirianni, your host with the most. I have to say that every single time, and I'm contractually obligated to say it because until I come up with a better joke. But thank you so much for joining us on the show this week. This week and for the next week or two, I'm dedicating a huge chunk of the show to the Reemerge Dance Festival, which is coming up at Center Stage Theater. And I have to say, it's been a lot of fun talking with all the folks who are involved with it, and to find out what their pieces are about and to learn their process. And I hope you do too. I hope you are enjoying the content on the show. By the way, the Reemerge Dance Festival takes place June 17th through the 20th at the Center Stage Theater. And there's four different programs, and you can attend all four or just one or two, or, you know, pick and choose. And all the information about the festival is on the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. There's also a blog tab on the website, and you can find out all about the artists that we are interviewing for the show. And some of their interviews will be also included as part of the festival as well. And my guest today is Meredith Cabanis, but also Meredith, your newly married name is Ventura, is that correct?
Yeah. So I just got a way longer name now. So currently Meredith Cabanis Ventura, and one of them's going to win at some point. We'll decide.
Let's see which one. Meredith Cabanis Ventura, and she's joining me on the show today to talk about her piece, which will be part of the festival. And before we get into it though, Meredith, tell us about marriage life. How's that been so far for you? It's a couple months or so?
Yeah, it'll be 2 months next week. I married my best friend. We've been best friends for, 12 years now. So
nice.
Yeah, super fun. It's basically the same as engaged life, simply because we live with my in-laws right now. So we moved in at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, kind of huddled together. And so it really feels the same. But now when people address letters, it's Mr. and Mr. And Mrs. Ventura. So.
Right. Now, even though your last name is Ventura, do you actually live in Ventura?
I don't. I live in Oxnard. I know.
Hilarious. Oh, in Oxnard.
We you hope to move back to Ventura.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We used to live in Ventura and then we moved, but hopefully we will be Mr. and Mrs. Ventura in Ventura. And if we move to Ventura Avenue, then we could be on Ventura Avenue, which would be great.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool. That would be a great little way to, you know, introduce yourself every time.
I feel like we would put our address on stuff and people would be like,
wait, what? So you are involved with the dance festival. Now, you are also a member of the board at Center Stage, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, my first board meeting with Center Stage was the week before the pandemic, and we were kind of like, well, we don't know what's going to happen. And then we haven't met in person since that day. I believe it was like March 8th.
Right. And
that was the day.
I understand you were involved with the creating the name for the festival. Did you come up with that? Or?
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like me and Terry have a really good rapport. I love working for someone like Terry because she is just such a go-getter and such big, like good energy all the time. And, you know, I feel like Terry has advocated so much for the arts and specifically for Center Stage in the past year. But she came, we were talking about making the festival and she's like, I just don't have a name. You need to help me come up with a name. And so we thought Reemerge would be kind of the best way to describe what we're doing. Just having the whole dance world of, you know, as we start to come back to stages, like what does that feel
like? Sure. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's a perfect name for it, Reemerge Dance Festival. But let's go back a little bit, back in time. And tell me a little bit about your artistic path. What has been your path as an artist? Like if you were to start from like age five.
From age five. Well, my grandfather was a dance teacher. He had a dance studio in Akron, Ohio, and it was called Norwood Dixon School for Stage Dancing. So that's how far I have to go back. I actually found his program from his recital in 1937, which is super cool to see. But so our family dance studio has been in operation for I think like 86 years. Yeah. So it was like, was my grandfather and then passed on to my aunt. And yeah, so I'm kind of like one of the family members keeping the tradition of dance alive. But I mean, my parents put me in dance when I was very young, and I did the classic studio experience. And then I went to UCSB, which really flipped me on my head. I was a ballerina. I did tap dance. And yeah, I know, funny to see me now. anyone who knows me now is like, ballet? Really? But yeah, so I went to UCSB and had my first modern dance class, and then just kind of never really looked back from there. I had some amazing professors when I was at UCSB that I still talk to and am friends with now. The first modern dance class I had was with Mira Kingsley, and she just like, the first day I just walk around, like walk away bleeding and like bruised from rolling on the floor and not knowing how, and just absolutely in love with dance. Yeah, so that's kind of like how I started in the more modern and contemporary realm. And I think as I get older, I still kind of question like what kind of dance I really do, because people ask me, they're like, oh, what kind of dance? And I'm like, well, currently I really have to do everything, because I teach ballet, I teach hip hop, I teach jazz, I teach contemporary, and we don't really know what even contemporary means, because it just means you're mixing stuff together. Really is, and it's like whatever's happening now is contemporary. But yeah, so I kind of, my participation in the dance world is really just out of pure joy for moving. And if, I mean, you, we've never really met in person, Jim, but if you saw me in person, you'd understand why, because I'm always moving. Like, I just can't stop. But that's me.
Yeah. So that kind of leads to my next question, sort of, and you kind of already touched on it, but what would you say is your favorite style or genre of dance, and why, if you had to pick just one?
I have to say, I will always have a deep love in my heart for ballet, and I will always be very deeply disappointed in myself that I didn't dance ballet professionally, but it just wasn't my wheelhouse. I loved it, and I teach it every day, but there's just something about ballet that just didn't like me, I think. But other than ballet, I really love, I know it's not sad, it's just, you know, there's certain kinds of dance that really require you to give up other things to do them. Ballet is one of them, where you really have to just, you have to really do ballet. And for me, there was certain parts of it that just didn't work for my body and just didn't work for what I wanted to do. And that's totally cool. A little sad, but not too sad. But really for me, where my joy for dance is contemporary and modern dance. Modern dance is more the lineage side, where you're studying a kind of technique of modern dance, and I love that. But as you kind of move into a more contemporary realm, you take modern dance, you take jazz, you take ballet, and you have all these different influences as you kind of make something that feels very reflective of the human psyche, in my opinion. So like for me, when I make contemporary dance, I'm focused on styles and techniques, but I'm really utilizing them as a tool rather than focusing on the like virtuosity of them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally does. And so I'm talking with Meredith Cabanis Ventura, and we're talking about dance and her piece, which is coming up at the Dance Festival. And to learn more about the festival, you can go to the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And Meredith, I forgot before we went on today to ask, what night is your piece going to be featured?
We perform on, well, we actually are part of almost every night of the show, because we are doing a dance film as well that we're premiering. It's the recorded version of one of our pieces. But we are part of the physical show on Saturday night, where my piece will be, and then Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so your dance film will be, and then that's the first night on the 17th, will be featured during that night. And then your piece is on Saturday the 19th, and also again on Sunday the 20th?
Is that? There'll be, we actually had another dancer in the show. Make a piece. So yeah, let me just double check that I'm right about that, because sometimes I'm wrong. I'll be honest.
Well, that's okay. There's so much information going around.
I know there's so much, which is delightful. So Chloe Roberts, her dance film is going to be on Friday the 18th. My piece, Infinite Corridor, will be on Saturday. And then the last piece, which is by Amanda Keller called Human, will be on Sunday.
Okay. And your piece, which is called Infinite Corridor, is that correct? That'll be on Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Alrighty. And speaking of Infinite Corridor, I was reading your artist statement earlier before we went on, and you had mentioned that you had gone through a kind of a traumatic experience, which we don't need to delve into your personal life, but so I understand that you had a traumatic experience and that kind of sort of inspired your piece. Expand on that for us a little bit.
For sure. That experience that I had, it was really the first time where I like became aware of my own mortality, which may seem kind of silly, but for me, it was really a moment where I had been so focused on the present, really like, you know, trying to survive in Santa Barbara as an artist and getting my work done and teaching and creating and having friends and trying to have a social life, just all the things that you're doing when you're, you know, at the time I was 28. And I had this moment where I was really confronted, and this is pre-pandemic, which is really interesting to me, where I was really confronted with the fact that, like, I was not worried about I looked into the future and I didn't know what I saw, really, is what it is. And it scared me. And it really was traumatic for me in that, in the moment when this event happened, I really thought I was going to die. And I had never really thought about death. The previous year, my dad passed away, and I had kind of used the work that I created in Selah that season to really deal with that loss, which was still outside of myself, but really confronted with my own, you know, death and loss was, you know, I know it sounds really morbid, but it was really an interesting experience to try to come back from. And this happening right before the pandemic is what I find most interesting, because I feel like people will be able to relate to the work in a different way, even though that's not really what it's about. It's not my COVID piece, but yeah, so I'm interested to see kind of what audiences will think kind of coming from that background.
Right, and then that was my next question. What are you hoping that the audience will take away from, whether it's this piece or any of your other pieces or the film, what are you hoping that when they're walking out of the theater that they maybe that they say or that they take away from it?
It's interesting, because I was actually just asked the other day about like why I started the company and why I make work, and it's not really, you know, in service to my own ego, maybe a little bit, but it's really about making dance accessible and relatable to all people. And for me, my goal for every show is for people to walk away and have one moment where they felt something. I don't care what it is, but they felt something. If it's, you know, joy, if it's like nostalgia, if it's, you know, something like really like deeply sad, or even something that makes them really angry. Like, I really just want something, because what was really frustrating to me and part of the reason I started Selah was I had so many friends come to shows and watch the show and then walk away and be like, I didn't really get it. And not only say, I didn't really get it, but not be willing to engage in it because it wasn't accessible to them. And I think that's, you know, equal parts the observer and also the creator has to create, well, it has to be willing to understand. But I think for me, just like, how can I create that through movement and through Selah? And I love when people are like, wow, I love that moment, it was so cool, or it was so acrobatic or so strong. But like, I want people to relate to a moment and be willing to question why.
Right. Oh, okay. That's good. And tell us, you mentioned your dance group, Selah. Tell us about that, and how did Selah come to be?
So Selah is a, you know, it's like, I like call it my baby, but it's not really like of me, you know, it's just kind of, it's whoever's in the company that season that we're creating is really who dictates the personality of the company. And I have just been really lucky the past couple of years to have just amazing people in the company. And when I first started it, like having the support of friends and people who, the reason I started the company with who I started it with was really truly because we didn't feel like we had the outlet we needed to do what we wanted. That's for me a lot of what, you know, accessibility is like not just having like the opportunity to do something, but having to do the opportunity to something that you really want to do, like you deeply need to do. And so for me, that's why I started Selah and kind of why I keep it. I mean, it's really hard. People ask me sometimes like, what's the hardest thing about running a dance company? It's really the interpersonal things, like making sure everyone feels like the work is worth it, like that I can pay them what they think is worth and that they feel fulfilled and that we all feel like it's part of us instead of just something they come and do for a couple hours a week and then walk away. But yeah, so for me, the reason I still have the company and do what we do when we have these shows and I invite other people in to partake is just like, because I really do enjoy dance and I really do enjoy seeing how other people do it and how people put it on their bodies for size. You know, it's interesting to me.
Nice. And we're chatting with Meredith Cabanis Ventura, and we're talking about the Reemerge Dance Festival, which takes place at Center Stage Theater, June 17th through the 20th. And you can get ticket information and make reservations and find out more about the festival on the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And be sure to click on the blog tab as well, so you can learn more about the various groups that are involved with the festival, all kinds of details about what's going on with it. And again, centerstagetheater.org. So let me also ask you, Meredith, about the pandemic. You know, for artists, for creators, it was a rough year. And how did you do during the whole shutdown?
Oh man, I kind of refer to the past year as a lost year. You know, like I just feel like we lost so much and so much was erased. But I feel guilty, Jim, but I had a really good year actually. You know, I got engaged before the pandemic started and just kind of spent that early quarantine time with my like now husband, and that was very scary time, I think, because we just didn't know what was going on and we didn't know how we were going to be affected, but it was like a really good time for he and I to like figure out what was really important to us. And then, you know, like teaching dance on Zoom is not my favorite thing, but it is something that I feel now that I'm good at because I've put so many hours into it. I was teaching on Zoom 20 hours a week early on. We just put all of our classes online, and that was some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
For sure. A lot of 5-year-olds trying to mute and unmute themselves and ask to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, you're in your own house. You don't have to ask. yeah. So I had a really hard year. I think everyone did, but I also really enjoyed how I and my now husband and some of the people around me, like what we did with that year.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Weird. That, no, that bittersweet thing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of folks had very similar experiences. I think I did too. I think I felt like at first it was like, oh my God, what are we doing? And then as it went on, it's like, okay, I guess we can all kind of deal with this. And I'm excited for live performance to come back to indoor theater. It is difficult to watch something, whether it's dance or a play or what have you, on Zoom. It's just, it doesn't...
It's
you don't get
different.
The audience reaction. You don't have
reaction. And that's really why I chose the music I chose for Infinite Corridor in particular, mm-hmm. because it's really music that you cannot listen to it on Zoom. It will not work, we're still going to live stream the show and it's still going to be good. And it's still going to, I think it will still work and it will still be good work. But there's something so beautiful about being immersed in the dark and hearing the music and, you know, feeling the bass and watching the dancers be so close to you. And I'm really excited for that. We actually had the opportunity to rehearse in the theater early. And we hadn't quite finished the work yet. It was like in May. And the dancers were just so excited. There's nothing like it to be in the theater and to have the stage lights on and to like be immersed fully in the work. And I actually really love that we were in there earlier than we usually are, because I think it gave us a bit more perspective on like what it will take to have our first performance back.
Nice. Cool. And who wrote the music for you?
I used a bunch of different artists of music. So getting the rights to music is like the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's not
the things they tell you when you start a dance company. So usually when I pick music for a piece, I will reach out to the artist individually. So we actually, I used a lot of John Hopkins. If you've ever heard of him, he is a British composer, and I used his music for my first show back in 2015. And I like went back in 2015, I just reached out to him on Facebook. I was like, hi, can you use your music? It's cool. But yeah, so I have a blend of like Niels Fromm and John Hopkins and a bunch of other artists. I straddle kind of that like very abstract kind of piano-y abstract techno song. It's a lot.
Oh, neat. Oh, wow.
Nice blend. Yeah, it's a very interesting blend of music. I think people will enjoy it. The dancers think it's hard to count.
Count to, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they'll learn.
Yeah, yeah, well, they're fine. They just have to remember, wait, is it 4 this time or is it 3 this time? I'm like, 3.
Right, right. Now, tell us about your film that'll be featured on the 18th. Can you expand on that a little bit?
So this is one of the pieces created by one of the company members, Chloe Roberts. So she actually, part of the reason for wanting to make it into a film was the fact that she was traveling. And so what we're going to do is take the piece that she set on the company and make it into a short dance film and just kind of try to highlight parts of the dance that you wouldn't normally see if you're watching the whole thing from stage. So that'll be interesting. We're going to do it the week of the show. We're going to finish it because we are actually performing that piece on Tuesday and Wednesday for our own production. And so we are going to film it that week, and it'll be a challenge, but it's not something that we haven't done before, is really work intensively on a project like that. So I'm excited about that.
Nice. Very cool. And we just only have a few minutes left before the end of the show, but I hope you wouldn't mind indulging me. And I always love to ask everybody random questions that just to kind of get to know them.
I love a random question.
Oh, good, good, good. Well, I'm just going to pick some out of my hat here that I don't have, but we'll say there's a hat. So here's the first random question. If there was a sandwich named after you, what would be on it?
Ooh. Okay, I feel like I have to make a cohesive sandwich because I feel like I like a lot of different things, but like, got a cohesive sandwich. So I'll have to have burrata on it. I like recently had a sandwich with burrata on it and changed my life. Prosciutto, because it goes with bread.
Yeah.
Pesto, because pesto is delicious. I would want a spicy kind of like pepper sauce. My husband makes spicy pickles for me. Like he got really into pickling and making sauerkraut pre-pandemic. So I have to have something spicy on there. And like a cooked vegetable. I feel like if you do cooked things and like a raw vegetable, it doesn't mix. So like maybe like some eggplant or a portobello mushroom and maybe like some cooked spinach, but not like too cooked that it is slimy.
Oh my God, you're making me hungry. It's time for lunch.
I know, like, did I eat really lunch good today? I did not.
No, that sounds really good. And then another random question. What's your favorite guilty pleasure?
I'm a food oriented person. So for me, it's the Tonight Dough by Ben & Jerry's. If you've had that one, it's like,
I don't know if I've had that flavor.
Oh, Jim, it's so good. It's so it's like vanilla ice cream with cookie dough pieces and chocolate cookie pieces and peanut butter cookie pieces. And then I think there's like Oreos in it. It's just like,
oh,
everything that's good in this world all at once.
All at once, yeah.
Yes, that, and as far as like activity, my other favorite activity is I binge watch the same show over and over again. I don't really like TV, but I really like anything that is Sherlock Holmes related. I love everything Sherlock Holmes. I've read every book. I've watched the Sherlock Holmes TV shows from the 1940s that were, they used the same actor as the villain in every episode, but they just dressed him up differently with different facial hair.
Oh my God, Basil
Rathbone. But Basil, one of my favorites is Elementary Lucy Liu is Watson. Lucy Liu. And that just really like makes my life better because Lucy Liu is like the coolest ever.
She's really cool. Yeah, that was a really
But good I'll rewatch show. Elementary over and over again. It's so underrated. No one talks about it. And I'm like, this is such a good show.
I know Sherlock Holmes is a great character. I mean, all time.
Which is, it's funny because one of my like things that really irks me in life is the concept of genius. I don't think genius exists. I think that, you know, people have good ideas, but I think that there's nobody who's born a genius. So my love for Sherlock Holmes is like, okay. But what I love about it is that it appears to be genius, but it's really just a series of like skills and logic that he's developed over time, I guess.
Right.
Same thing with psych, you know?
Yeah. Totally.
Not really a psychic, but.
But yeah, if you just put all the pieces together, then you can come up with something.
Yeah. Well, that's my fascination with it.
That's great. Well, Meredith, I could chat all afternoon or all day or all evening, depending on when people are watching this or listening to it. I could chat all day, but unfortunately, we do have to go. But before we do, give us all your 411, all your information about your dance group and how they can find you, all that good stuff.
Cool. So my website is still MeredithLCavanis.com. I am in the midst of changing over to my new last name, but that's my website. And my Instagram is MeredithLVentura. And then everything related to my dance company is Selah Dance Collective. Everyone likes to say Selah, but it's Selah, S-E-L-A-H. If you just type in Selah Dance on anything, it'll pretty much come up us. So that's us on YouTube, on Vimeo, on Instagram, on Facebook.
Nice. And Selah Dance Collective, is that the whole full
yes title?
Nice. And you can look them up on all the social media. And if you'd like to learn more about the Reemerge Dance Festival, you can go to the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. again, that's centerstagetheater.org, and all the information on how to get tickets, reservations, etc., is right there on the website, centerstagetheater.org. And if you want to know what I'm up to, if you want to follow my show, it's Jim on the Air on Facebook and Instagram. Jim on the Air.
You should follow him. He's cool and nice.
Yes, I am. Thank you for saying that. Oh, now I'm getting old.
He was so delightful. No, I love talking to you, Jim. You're great.
Oh, and you as well. It's always a fun conversation. And again, it's Jim on the Air, and you can find my podcast on anchor.fm, on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and about four or five other platforms as well. Jim on the Air, look it up on Instagram or Facebook and you'll find me. and again, the festival takes place June 17th through the 20th, centerstagetheater.org for tickets. And Meredith, it was a delight to talk to you again, and we'll have to meet in person one of these days, maybe at the festival.
I know, that would be awesome. I will definitely be there the full weekend, so
nice. Yeah, we'll have to do that. And thanks again for joining us, Meredith, and everybody for listening and watching and all that good stuff, and we will catch you next time. And bye-bye, everybody.